radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
It is 3 p.m. on May 12, 2023. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of Coquitlam, the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cjsf.ca. Welcome to episode 18 of the Steve Chong Show in 2023, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be another set of independent music, commentary on the SF Athletics, and a very long interview on the cancellation of SFU football. First up is Jamali's Pleasant Place with Retribution.
Lotta them a bit and sweet. Many a pray for my execution. I would have none of it. Keep the style, this talent that I had. God will take me on high. Though so many are blessed, I'm thankful nevertheless. The food upon my table, enemies and rivals trying to disrespect your check. Little bit of food on the table, me no worry about you. Friendship irreparable, we still a cut and go through. Well, if I lie, them tell everybody know how they do. Still, I one thing we know, so that only the love I carry we through. Well, enough time you see them and them never see you. Time and time again you help them, but no get no thank you. Still they pretend to be a friend, but what goes around comes around again. Now enough of them are faced a retribution for all their wickedness that they create. So what they can stop with now, already we're established. Some are not change the conversation. I woo them a bit and sweet. Many are praying for my execution, but I would have none of it. Look here now, stand alone, not stand together. Go on home if you not go harder. Finger mash no wet. Journey up a thousand miles, begin with a single step. The journey long, but time it longer. No throw no stone before you cross the border. Matters not the game they play, cause one of them, the dash away. Not for them, I face them retribution for all the wickedness that they create. So what they can stop with now, already we're established. Some are a change like a chameleon. A lot of them a bit and sweet. Many a pray for my execution. Shower up none of it. Keep the style, this talent that I had. God will take me on high. Though so many are blessed, I'm thankful nevertheless.
That was Retribution from Jamali's Pleasant Place. I'd like to discuss the SFU Athletics at this time. There were four events on May 6th, where track and field teams competed in three events. Distances are in meters with times in minutes and seconds. I will mention the top 10 results for SFU. First is Jennifer Rogers Swan Memorial Track Meet 2023 in Abbotsford, BC. Brian Cortes hurled 60.47 in the men's javelin 800-gram open, personal best, to rank 29th in the NCAA, the only competitor in the event. Second is Oxy Invitational at Jack Kemp Stadium in Los Angeles, California. Three Red Leafs finished among top five in the men's 800, where Jordan Schmidt dashed 151.65 for third, Aiden Good clocked 151.69 for fourth, and Andrew Thompson ran 152.11 for fifth. In the women's 400 hurdles, Erica Binder clocked 102.54 for third. Last but not the least is On Track Festival at Hilmer Lodge Stadium in Walnut, California. In the men's 1500 section 3, Charlie Donna dashed 341.38 in the men's 1500 for second, only behind Ajay Kumar of ADP India, who ran 339.89. Donna is currently second in NCAA rankings, just 0.42 seconds behind Miguel Coca of Adams State at 340.96. Meanwhile, at Burnaby's BD Field, Game 6 in the 2023 GNAC Softball Championships took place between the top seed Northwest Nazarene Nighthawks and second Western Washington Vikings. The Nighthawks edged the Vikings 3-2 to win the 2023 GNAC crown. Two events occurred on May 8th. The Edmonton Eskimos in the CFL signed former SFU football player Aiden Pierce, a wide receiver who played for the Red Leafs between 2018 and 2022. Pierce earned 27 receptions for 394 yards, with two touchdowns in 25 games for SFU. Also, the Red Leafs women's golf started in the NCAA West Regional at the Golf Club of Dallas in Dallas, Texas, which finished the next day on May 9th. SFU finished last among 12 teams after firing 96 over par, 936 strokes over three rounds. The Red Leafs were led by Izzy Ferguson and Sharon Anjarwala, both of whom fired 20 over par, 230 strokes, a four-way tie for 44th. Dallas Baptist University and West Texas A&M fired 1 over par, 841 strokes, with DBU winning the tournament in a sudden-death one-hole playoff. Elisa Campbell of West Texas A&M won the individual crown with 1 over par, 205 strokes. On May 10th, softball's Megan Duclos, who bats left and throws right, was named to the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association All-West Region second team. Duclos had a historic season, as she set the GNAC single-season record with 43 steals in 47 attempts. Duclos also led the GNAC with 65 hits, 46 runs scored, second with a .409 batting average, and fourth with a .453 on-save percentage. On May 11th, men's golf started in NCAA D2 West and South Central Regional at Foxdale Golf Club in Rohnert Park, California. Today sees the men's golf team continuing in NCAA D2 West and South Central Regional, while track and field teams are in the GNAC Outdoor Championships at MacArthur Field in Monmouth, Oregon, hosted by Western Oregon. I will provide SFU results near the end of the show, if applicable.
Computers, tablets, smartphones, even the smallest devices can have a huge environmental impact. The harmful materials used to make electronic devices can leak into our waterways and pollute the air we breathe. Throwing old technology in the trash could mean game over for the planet. When your old electronics die, don't just throw them away. Donate them for reuse or recycling. At Free Geek Vancouver, electronics are recycled as locally and as sustainably as possible. Free Geek provides job skills, training, internet access, and free or low-cost computers to the public. Donate your electronics to Free Geek to prevent e-waste from doing extra damage and help your old technology find its new home. To learn more about how you can level up your sustainability game, visit freegeekvancouver.org. That's freegeekvancouver.org.
Welcome back. Now I'd like to play an interview with a SFU football player, which occurred just 2 days ago. Hello, today is May 10th, 2023. On the line, I have... Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Connor Burns. I'm a former SFU football player, offensive lineman. And yeah, this is my second year. I'm also an engineering student. Just transferred in. This is my first semester as an engineering student here at SFU.
Connor, who I met on R5 last Friday, stands at 6 feet 4 inches or 193 centimeters and weighs 295 pounds or 134 kilograms, according to the SFU Athletics website. Connor, thanks for the interview today.
Yeah, you're welcome, no problem.
Also, please correct me if I am wrong about your statistics and other things.
No, those are all accurate. All tested last year. Measured. Haven't grown much, so.
First of all, tell me about your journey to SFU football.
So, football started with me when I was young. Third grade. I was around 8 years old. Started with my father. He played football when he was young. He was pretty good in high school until he had an injury that was due to a ball hockey incident. He caught a stick to the face, and that caused him to have epilepsy. So he was no longer able to play football because of this brain injury. But he continued with the love of the game. And when I was 8 years old, we were driving by a field, and he saw that. He drove me right down to the field, disregarding any other thing he had to do that day. So if he had to go get groceries or anything, he didn't care. He just wanted me on that field and took me down there, got me signed up, and from that moment, I really started to create this bond with my father that most people don't have at that young, and I really appreciated that. And from then, I started to learn this game that he once loved as a child. Fast forward to, say, grade 9, or sorry, let's start at when I was 12. I was trying out for the provincial team. Nova Scotia, where I'm originally born. And there, I was trying out as a quarterback. You know, I was the coach's son. Because my dad, he coached me since I was 8. Like, he joined as a coach then, too. He was a coach. He coached me as a head coach up until high school. But when I was 12, he took me to the provincial tryouts as a quarterback. And there, I wasn't a great quarterback. I was still learning, kind of, but I wasn't what it took to be on the provincial team as a quarterback. So, with my builds, I was probably around 6'1 when I was 12. They said, okay, let's give this guy a shot at, you know, wide receiver. And I wasn't really that great at catching either. But then one day, this coach told me, he's like, hey, here's a crack block, so go crack this defensive end. So I was like, so I can hit him as hard as I can. The coach was like, yeah. So I did that, I hit him, and, you know, I hit him pretty hard, and then that's how I earned my starting spot on the provincial team. So that's one of the first scenarios where I learned, like, okay, yeah, this is where hard work comes into play. And if I can find something I'm good at and work hard at that, I can find a spot anywhere. So that is one of my first instances where I really fell in love with the game of football, because it was, you know, really rewarding to work hard and have success come out of it. And then when I got into high school, my dad told me, he said, hey, if you want to go any further with this, you're going to have your good grades. And I started with that, really grinding in the books. I always had a taste for math, and I think that came from my dad being a honor student in computer science at Keene College, and I think that was a college in Nova Scotia at the time, but I don't know. I think it's only in Prince Edward Island now. But yeah, it was a college in Nova Scotia at the time when he was graduating. I think he graduated in 2001 with honors. So he was a smart man, and I was gifted with his ability to deal with math and numbers and stuff. So going into that, he told me, he said, hey, if you want to play football further and go to college and stuff, you got to get good grades. And I worked at that. And then I worked at that with the goal of going to college preparatory school in America in mind. And my 10th grade year, I got accepted into WRA, Western Reserve Academy in Hudson, Ohio, which is top 2% academic school in the country and had a pretty decent athletics program. So we were working up to that, and while I was away at another Team Nova Scotia trip, I was in the Canada Cup. I think it was in Calgary that year. It was 2018, yeah, Calgary. And my dad was also the coach of a six-a-side program, which was like a fundamental program for people that couldn't quite make the 12-a-side team. But he coached these guys and was just like coaching the fundamentals of football, like trying to build the basics up for these kids. And, you know, he had a great time there. He was in Prince Edward Island, PEI. So I was in 2 weeks. I was in Calgary for 2 weeks at the Canada Cup, played there. Didn't do so well. I think we lost all of our games from my memory. But it was a good experience overall. We stayed at the University of Calgary. Yeah, it was fun with all the guys. But 2 weeks later, I come home. My dad's still in Prince Edward Island. The day he's supposed to come home, I get devastating news that he actually had an epileptic seizure and passed away that morning. So going into my decision to go to WRA, I was really motivated because I knew I was leaving my mother at home, who, you know, had to deal with the loss of her father. I mean, my father. Sorry. And had to deal with my younger brother, who was 12 or 13 at the time. And yeah, I had to go to this school in a different country, but it motivated me to want to do better for myself and for my family. So going into WRA, I had a goal to not just be successful athletically, but to be successful academically. And by the time I was finished with WRA, I had a lot of interest from D1 schools, mostly Ivy Leagues, because my GPA was pretty good. It was around a 3.7 my senior year in all upper division college level or AP classes. And I was looking good, and unfortunately I had no offers from Division I, which was my ultimate goal, but I did have an offer from Simon Fraser, which gave me the ability to play American football, which I always dreamed of, but I was also able to stay home in Canada. I mean, it is on the other side of the country, but I mean, at least still like my country of origin. And I was able to pursue a degree of quality, you know? And that really inspired me to come here. And the first year I was here, I was enrolled in biomedical physiology because I wasn't sure of the engineering program. I wasn't 100% informed on it, but I was accepted into biomedical physiology. I thought I finished my first year here as a biomedical physiology student, and I did pretty well. I finished my first year with a 3.02 GPA, and thinking, I might as well try to look into engineering if I'm doing okay in this. And I found that there was a biomedical engineering program that really interested me. So now, recently, just in the summer, I was accepted in to the engineering program, and now I'm taking all engineering classes with the final goal of graduating with a biomedical engineering degree. And football-wise, my first year, I was considered for a starting spot on the offensive line, but I was not quite yet developed, but I was able to travel with all the guys. But just this season, 2022, I was able to start at right tackle and competed in the Lone Star Conference against pretty good guys, you know, good guys that could have gone D1 or transferred from D1 schools. And it was really good competition. It really tested me, and I think I did pretty well this year. So yeah, that's pretty much my story so far at SFU and how I got to SFU. You know, it's been a good time. I met a bunch of people that are going to be friends for life. I've learned so much about not just school and football, but about myself. And, you know, this decision has impacted me because I'm not sure where I should go next or how the future holds, because, you know, I was setting up a future of having this degree and playing football and just hoping that everything could line up the way I planned it for it, because I never expected something like this would happen.
First of all, my condolences to your family. Second, this is a second question. Tell me about April 4th, 2023, when the SFU administration canceled the SFU football program.
So the day before, we saw it on the news. It was crazy. Everybody was like, there's this video. It says that we could be closing our program. And then we got a message right away. It's like, hey, meeting tomorrow at 12. This is on the 3rd. And the meeting was on the 4th. They go, yeah, April 4th, meeting at 12. Everybody's like, okay, well, this is suspicious. Like, why haven't we heard anything from anybody, and why is it on the news without us knowing? And we got there. We had sandwiches lined up, cookies lined up. It was like, hey, sorry for your program, but we just said, sorry for your program, but here's a tuna sandwich. Like, come on. Like, and then they got some. The guy, the provost, I don't know how it's pronounced, but, the people that made the decision weren't the ones giving the news, which was surprising to me, because it had to be top down, you know, the president, the provost, the vice provost, the ED, and it had to go through the board of governors too. So I don't know, man. It was just all these emotions and them just saying the same thing over and over again. Every time anybody would ask them a specific question, they would just say, oh, this is a difficult time. We understand. We're going to help you out, all this, you know. And everybody was, some people were crying. Some people were just,
your call got dropped.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so continue on April 4th, 2023. You're saying some people were crying before the call ended.
Okay, yes. So some people were crying. Some people were, you know, disappointed and just worrying about their, you know, where they should go in 2023. 2023 and 2024, and so on. So really, you know, some people only had like three classes left. They had to take. So the fall would have been it for them, and now they just have no choice, no anything. They just have to either stay here and finish their three classes and move on without a senior season, or they have to transfer somewhere else, risking losing all the credits that they worked for, all the money that they invested in school, not knowing if they're going to even get another chance at football. And, you know, some of these guys had dreams of going pro, or, going pro in Canada, going pro in America, going pro in Europe. There's so many options that people can go to. But now it's just harder because they don't have the film. So, like, I know one guy, he was on academic probation or something like that, or decided to take a redshirt year, which would have been his original senior year. But I think because he had too many classes or something, he decided to take a redshirt year so that his last football year would line up with graduation year. And now that's taken away from him. He didn't have his senior year last year because he took a redshirt, and now he's being stripped of his 2023 senior season, which was set in stone. It was guaranteed that we were going to have a season this year. That's what we were all banking on. That's what our coach kept telling us, like, hey, don't worry about 2024. Just worry about now and work for this season and see what it takes us. Because, you know, what if we did better this year, and then we could have done better this year. Maybe our athletic department would have more faith in us, because I feel like there's very low faith in the football team going into this decision, coming from the top down, which has been very nearsighted, I think, because the median funding for our program, or a football program in the Lone Star, was reported to be $1.4 million, and we were just barely $700,000, or in between $700,000 and $800,000, which is nearly half of the median in the Lone Star funding compared to the Lone Star Conference. Division II offers, I think, around 30-something scholarships. We were given 16 and a half scholarships. So how can you compete against these guys with 30-plus scholarships when you only have half that many? And then the nearsightedness comes from them not being able to, them not funding us or not being able to fund us, whatever. But then, what else would you expect? Like, it's either you fund it, or, like, yeah, we're going to be bad. And then, but then come to us and say that it's not a money issue. Then what kind of issue is it? Because at that point, you're kind of just telling us we're bad, but here, you don't have any money, but you're supposed to compete against these guys and do. But then these guys can get all the top recruits. They can get all these guys because they're given the funding that is necessary. I'm not really sure what else to say about it. It's just, you know, it's disappointing. They didn't even look into any more venues for the future. I mean, they slightly did. Apparently there was a phone call made that said, oh, yeah, we looked to our bylaws. Well, I'm talking about youth sports here, but there was no official application, which could have been done. Like, okay, yeah, do the application, and there's an application for the application for the exemption. If that was, you know, denied, then everybody would have an answer as to why they shut down the program. But at this point, it's okay, so it's not a money thing. We're just worried about the future. There's no clarity. We didn't try anything. And, yeah, good luck with your future, pretty much. That's kind of the message I received. I know it's the message a lot of guys receive. It's just very not caring, not considerate of the people that use football as their future. You know, it's, like, dependent on it. Like, not many guys identify as anything else. Like, I'm fortunate enough to be be in a spot where I can, where I was able to get a good